This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Wednesday, November 11th, 2009. Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast. My name is Beau Bennett.
And my name is Ryan Levesque.
And we are your hosts.
And we have a very interesting show lined up for you today. As a presenter, you may have pondered the challenge of how do you be sure that your audience is not only going to get your message, but remember it after your presentation is done. And so today's show is all about how to grab your audience's attention and make your message stick using hooks.
So let's get right into it.
Kevin Carroll is a professional speaker, trainer, and facilitator. His passion is helping his clients think creatively and communicate persuasively. In other words, he teaches people how to be better problem solvers and how to get their message across clearly, concisely, and confidently. Top shelf clients such as Merrill Lynch, Unilever, and Cisco Systems, to name just a few, have been tapping into Kevin's expertise for many years. Kevin is the author of the book, What's Your Hook?, and the article of the same name in the November 2009 Toastmaster magazine. Kevin Carroll, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Kevin.
Good afternoon, guys.
How are you?
Thanks for having me on.
Great, you bet.
It's our pleasure.
We're excited to talk to you about this article and to figure out what exactly a hook is. I know what a fishing hook is, but I'm assuming you're not writing about that. You're writing about something a little bit different.
Just a little different. In fact, they're similar in a way. A hook is anything that you can work into your presentation or into your sales message that grabs somebody's attention. It also helps them understand what your point is and makes it more memorable and persuasive. So it's a device, a creative device that you can use in your communication to snag people.
So, Kevin, I understand also, we're going to get into some of the specific hooks in a little bit, but I know as a corporate trainer, one of the things you do is you help your clients find hooks and weave them into their presentations. I'm wondering if you talk just a little bit about the consulting model, if you will, the method that you use to help clients extract a hook from their presentation.
Sure. You know, it all comes down to clarity in terms of, you know, I say to them, okay, you're going to be giving a presentation, whether it's at the sales meeting or whatever it may be, and I'll say, what's the essence of what your message is? In one sentence or less, maybe even a few words, what is it that you want people to remember? Once they're clear on that, then we can say, okay, so your message is, let's work together, or the message is, our price is low and our quality is high. Whatever that is, we get clear on that first, and then we go out and we try to find a creative hook that we can attach to that so that people will remember that key message.
Okay, so I guess what I'm hearing then is you want to use the hook to drive home that singular message throughout the presentation, as opposed to trying to hammer home different points and using a hook for each point.
Well, you can go either way. The most important thing is being clear on what is that major takeaway that you want people to remember.
Okay.
So it all starts with that. However, if somebody's up presenting for 15 minutes, an hour, 40 minutes, there's no reason why they shouldn't have a variety of hooks, depending on whatever that message within that is. So they can go for others, but predominantly they really need to be focused overall on that, what that big message is.
Well, perfect. Let's talk about some of the specific hooks. In your article in the Toastmasters magazine, you talk about personal stories, props,
right,
and surprising statistics. So let's kind of skip over those because you had some really good stories in the magazine, so we won't go into too much detail. But how about some of the other ones? Like, for example, analogies. Can you give us an example about that?
Yeah, analogies are great. They, you know, too often people give way too much information. They go on and on and on, and they're really not getting that point across there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, it can be confusing. People are talking about all different sorts of concepts, and it can be very confusing unless you use an analogy. So, for example, one of the exercises I have people do is I say, hey, tell us what your job is like. And this is if I'm doing a presentation skills class and training people. And I say, when you give me an analogy for your job, you're not allowed to use firemen. Because guess what? Everybody would say, well, my job's a lot like being a fireman.
Always putting out fires.
Nor can you say, I'm sorry?
I'm always putting out fires.
Yeah, right.
We've heard that
and
too many
that's
times.
That's not memorable. Or they'll say, well, my job's like a consultant. But a consultant is vague. So I remember a number of years ago, I used this exercise, and somebody said, well, my job's a lot like being a UN weapons inspector. Because I have to go into places that nobody wants me to go into, and I have to bring back information. So that was perfect. That stuck with the audience, and they were able to recall what that person's job was like. So that might be an example of the use of an analogy.
Okay.
And just to touch a little bit in your article, you used the example of personal stories. I imagine that could be part of an example. Is that right? Or is there a distinct difference there?
It could be. It certainly could be. And personal stories, I say, a great personal story is a moment in time where something happened that's either frightening or unusual or inspiring or funny, that people should collect these moments that happened to them and just start writing them down and hold on to them. And later on, when they're giving a presentation, they can look back on their list of stories they've kept about these unusual or funny incidences and start to weave them into their presentation or their message.
Okay.
And yeah, people can relate to them because we've always all been through similar things, and that's what will make it memorable.
Right. And we all experience the same basic emotions.
Yep.
And that takes us into one of the other hooks, the humor.
Yes. Funny, you should say that.
I'm waiting for something funny. I'm waiting for a joke or something from you.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I once did some stand-up comedy, and whenever I tell that to people, of course, they say, okay, say something funny.
Say something
and
funny.
And nothing's more difficult than having to say something funny when you're on the spot.
We're not going to make you say something funny. I think we get it. The point is, if you say something funny or if you use humor, it, of course, catches the interest of the audience and gets them more involved and paying attention.
Yeah,
and
the great source for that is a lot of times people are sending back and forth emails with funny things they've come across. So everything should be done in good taste, of course, but again, the listeners should collect those funny little things that they see on the internet or somebody sends them or they see, and then they're building up their book of keepers and can start to use those in presentations. So collect the funny things that are out there.
Sure, and many people believe that in order to use humor in a speech, you have to be naturally funny or you have to be a comedian. That's definitely not true. As you just alluded to, you can use other people's humor, of course, as long as you give them credit. Like, for example, last night I saw on the Jay Leno show, blah, blah, blah. You know, and everybody laughs, but they're not laughing at your joke, but you're kind of relaying the joke, and it's still funny. It still works.
Yeah, it sure does. And, in fact, if you look at sitcoms and the stuff that's out there on TV, a lot of that humor is deadpan humor. So it's not as though people have to be a Robin Williams kind of stand-up comic. Mm-hmm. They can be very straight-faced with it, but if they can find some amusing ways to say it or in a dry, deadpan way, that can often grab a crowd. And I'll just go back to a minute for the stories. If you have things that happen to you that are fun, anecdotal little moments, then guess what? You don't have to be a stand-up comedian. You can just share these funny little moments that happen, and people get a laugh out of that.
Gotcha. Right. Along the same line, you mentioned video clips, and I'm assuming you have something set up like a projector where you could show the video clips. Is that what you had in mind for that?
Yeah, that... And a lot of times you could either work something into your presentation, or these days, if the place where you're presenting has wireless, you could tap into YouTube, for example, and pull something out of there. So there's just so much in the area of video. And audiences like that. They like the change of a venue in a way, or at least of the medium. So just having me stop talking or not show PowerPoint slides and go into a couple of video clips engages people, and they find that memorable.
Great. Kevin, I have a question.
Yeah.
How can questions be used effectively as hooks?
You know, it's probably one of the things that I tell people to use a lot of. In fact, when people have anxiety and nervousness about speaking and presenting, I say, well, here you go. You walk up in front of your audience and open with a question. So, for example, today I was working with a group of salespeople. And, you know, there's some anxiety I might have before getting up in front of this group and whatnot. So I stand up in front of them and I say, okay, tell me something that people do that frustrate you or annoy you. Well, that's a very big, simple, open question. And immediately hands go up and people start to say, well, people who are rude, people who don't listen. So then we're off to the races, because I've thrown out the question, they respond, and then we can start our presentation or our conversation. So
I love that technique. I use it all the time, because it allows me as a speaker to take a break and to get mm-hmm. my thoughts together and take myself out of the spotlight. Also, as you mentioned, it's a way to let the audience know that you just can't sit here and do nothing. You got to work. I'm going to ask you a question. You better answer it. So they have to pay attention.
Absolutely. And just a word of caution, you know, always avoid pointing to one person. And if there's a right or wrong answer, you just don't want to put that person in the corner and say, well, Jim, you know, what's the answer to such and such? That's just not fair to them. But if it's more of an opinion type of question, or you keep it open to anybody to answer in the audience, that's going to work for them and work for you.
Sure. And pointing's rude anyway.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I like this one. You mentioned quizzes as a hook. Is that sort of like the questions, but like A, B, and C choices?
Well, a quiz is more something that is, questions are just sort of straightforward questions that you might have as you're having a conversation. Quizzes are these fun, interesting questions that you might ask that they might be a brain teaser. So, for example, one of the things I use is I say, hey, how long did it take to build the Empire State Building? And, you know, people guess anything from, I don't know, 3 years, 9 years, 20 years. And then when I reveal it took 13 months, that's a surprise to them. So by having questions like that are intriguing, a little different, and again, it's not good enough just to have them as a fun thing. Then I want to connect it back to my message. So, for example, if I do the Empire State Building and I reveal that it's 13 months and people are surprised how quickly it was to build the Empire State Building, the point may be there. Hey, if they built the Empire State Building in 13 months, we can complete this project in the same amount of time. So something, a fun, offbeat type of questions.
Right.
And I guess, of course, that could lead to giveaways. Now, giveaways, are you talking about bribing the audience, Kevin?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Hey, as long as it works.
Everybody loves a freebie. So a giveaway, one of my programs that I do with my clients is called Life's a Boomerang. And I found a supplier that creates these indoor soft boomerangs, and I was able to imprint the program name on the boomerang, and then I hand it out to the people in the audience. So they end up with a little tchotchke that they can have, and it gets my message out to them on that boomerang. So, yep, bribery.
I love
Very
it.
Good.
I love it.
Another one of your hooks here, Kevin, is quotes. I know a lot of times people will work a famous quote into their Toastmaster speech at the club, but I don't know how I could see that necessarily as a hook. There needs to be something more behind it, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. It's funny. A lot of people do use quotes in their presentation, and they think they're being pretty darn creative when they're doing that. And I got to tell you that, to me, it's just sort of standard fare to do that. So you want to find a quote that is unique, that's funny, that's really inspiring. I always like kind of grabbing funny quotes. So, in fact, in the book I have a couple, and I probably got this off an email somebody once sent me, and one of the quotes is, "A day without sunshine is, well, like night." Or, "On the other hand, you have different fingers." So what you could do is you could have those up there as just fun grabbers, or you could attribute them to somebody in the company, making that all up, of course. So find quotes that are unique, that are memorable, and don't use just the standard fare. One time I was working with a company, they were putting on a national sales meeting, and they usually have these inspirational quotes, you know, as they're having the break and people are going out of the room or coming in, and it's running in the background. Well, what I then did is I filtered in and infiltrated those real quotes with these off-the-wall, comical types of quotes, and that's what really got the audience looking. One time somebody saw it, then the word goes on, and other people are looking at it, so you're definitely right on. You want to mix it up and surprise people and not do what's expected.
Nice.
That's a great idea, because that's starting the hook then before you're even back up there speaking again.
Yeah, and then they're getting accustomed. Then they want to pay attention because they're not quite sure what's the next interesting thing that's going to happen up there.
Right, so, yeah. Who is this crazy guy?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a whole bunch more hooks in here, and I don't want to give them all away because you have them detailed in your book. So why don't you give us a quick plug for your book right now, where our listeners could find out more of these hooks and more details about them.
If they go into my website, which is simply my name, kevincarroll.com, two R's, two L's, kevincarroll.com. On that website, they'll see this book as well as my book, Make Your Point, and they can order it and get a discount, and they'll also get some presentation and persuasion tips on the website.
Good stuff, Kevin. Great stuff. I really enjoyed the article.
Great. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for chatting with us.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
And that'll wrap things up for this week's Toastmasters podcast. Just a reminder that we are looking for sponsors, so if you're interested in sponsoring the Toastmasters podcast, or if you know anybody who is, please have them contact us or you contact us. The number is 978-440-9300. Or if you just want to leave some feedback about this podcast or any other podcast that we have done, you can email us at podcast@toastmasters.org. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/theTMPodcast. Or you can give us a call.
And our voicemail feedback line is 1-888-451-8862.
And once again, it's like Table Topics. You have 2 minutes to leave a message, and 2 minutes only, then it disconnects. We'd love to hear from you. Well, that'll be it. So thank you very much. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Take care, everybody. Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.